Tonight is going to be a continuation of one of the teachings, one of the sermons that was done, that I did, titled it Serving God Faithfully. So this will be part two. Serving God Faithfully. Let's say it together. Serving God Faithfully. Amen. There is something in the scripture in the book of Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. The instruction God gave to our father, Abraham. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I want us to read that last portion together. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. This is telling us that it's possible to serve God, but not faithfully. There is one thing to serve God. There is one thing to serve Him faithfully. Say amen. And this is what God is really expecting from us. This is where He wants us to be. This is what He wants us to do. Not just to serve Him, but to be faithful in our service of Him. Do you know that the true service unto God is not just being in every ministry in the church? It is all about our life as we yield our life unto Him. At the youth retreat, one of the sessions was the keynote talk was actually your lifestyle is your true worship. When we yield ourselves unto God, and then our moving up and down, our activities, our servicing in the church, everything will now make sense. We now come with meaning. So God was telling Abraham, at the 99 years old, He said, I am your God Almighty. I am your God Almighty. One thing I'm asking of you, serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. Let me ask a question. This is not preaching. This is teaching. Is it possible to serve God faithfully? Do you think it's something that is possible? Yeah, I'm asking. I want us to respond. Is anybody here that think it is hard? That is, no. No man can really serve God faithfully. How many of us are in agreement with that? That no man can really serve God faithfully. Let me see your hands up so that we will share it together. Because you may have a point that others don't know. So nobody. So it means we are all in agreement that we can serve. Do you know why it is possible? Because God said it. Because God said it, that is why it is possible. Anything God said is possible. That's the way I want us to take it. Once something is said by God, it means it is something that He wants us to do. And the way it will be possible is by believing what is said and looking unto Him as your source, your sustainer, the one that will make it possible for you. Look at it this way. See, as they give us medicine when we go to the hospital and all that, do you know that if you don't believe that it will work, it won't work? If you don't believe something, it won't work for you. But when you believe something, this is God speaking, that my son, I want you to serve me, not just serving me, I want you to be faithful in serving me and live a blameless life. Like I was sharing that day, if you listen to the message, if you were not here, and those of us that were here, I was telling us that when God commanded and empowered Moses to lead the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, Pharaoh pursued them and said, no, it will not be possible. And you remember the instruction. God was saying that, let my people go so that they may do what? Serve me. It means God wants us to serve him faithfully, but the devil is the one that doesn't want it to happen. And God said, let my people go. I typify Egypt at that time. I said this word. Egypt typifying the world. Pharaoh typifying Satan. There are a lot of pressures in the world today that can hinder children of God from serving God faithfully. Pressures, hindrances, obstacles. Serving God is not really just about bearing biblical names, speaking in tongues, going to church faithfully every Sunday. It is about how you yielding your life to the Lord, how you are responding to his commandment, that is his word. When you miss it today, be sober. Have a remorse. Listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Get it better tomorrow. Move on. You are still his child. Once you realize it, that is why God said that David is a man after the heart of God, after my heart. Do you know why? Despite all that he did, the moment David's eyes is open to his error, he admits it. He realizes it. He bows down. He humbles himself to understand his weaknesses and to bring it up unto the Lord. Imagine somebody hiding from God. Isn't that funny? Just like a little child. Because you are hiding from God, and the Bible says his eyes is everywhere. Even if you switch off the light to do what you have to do, he sees it. He knows it. Before you come out to do it, because he sees the heart, he already knew what you are doing. Praise God. So Moses came to Pharaoh a couple of times. This is what the Lord said. Let my people go so that they may serve me. Pharaoh will let them go. He will say, okay, I will let them go. Then he will change his mind. I was telling us that time during the sermon. I said, there are four things that he said, and which I want us to be careful of today in this world of today. The first one, you will see it in the book of Exodus chapter 8, verse 25. Exodus chapter 8, verse 25. Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron. All right, I will let you guys go now. Go ahead and offer sacrifices to your God, he said. But do it where? Here. Where? In this land. What land is that? And what is Egypt typifying? The world. See the deceit of Pharaoh. I will let you serve God. That is why he will let some people go to church. He will let some people, you know, be involved. But he will say, my friend, just go to church. Stay in Egypt. Serve God in this land. What was God's instruction? Let them go out of Egypt so they may serve me. When God said that you need to get out of Egypt to serve God, it means it is not possible to serve God in Egypt. You cannot sing the song of the Lord in a strange land. It's not possible to serve God. It means you are just serving God, but you are not serving him faithfully. Just like the text that we read. He doesn't want us to just serve him. He wants us to serve him faithfully. You cannot be faithfully serve God until you come out of Egypt. That is, until you come out of where? The world.
serving God in the worldly way.
And don't forget the meaning of the church. The church simply means the called out. It means we have been called out. There is no way you, as the called out, will remain in Egypt and serving God. It means you haven't been called out. Then you are not a church. Church is not a structure. Church is the called out. Called out of the world. That is, we have been called to leave some things that we do that are worldly, that are not godly, to abandon the system of the world and switch to God's system in everything we do. In everything that we do. Serving God faithfully requires coming out of Egypt to serve God. So if anyone is still in Egypt, they are not serving God faithfully. Staying in Egypt and serving God means being serviceable but not being regenerated. That is, you are full of activities, you are involved, they want somebody to carry chair, you are. They want somebody to go out, you are. They want somebody to go to a hospital to pray, you are the one. They want somebody to stay in church because we don't want some people to break in. We want somebody that can sleep here. You will volunteer yourself. You are very serviceable. You're very effective. You're very involved. You are all that, but you are not regenerated. You are not regenerated because you're still in Egypt. So get it well, brethren. It is possible to be very serviceable but not regenerated. That is, staying in Egypt to worship God. When our life is not in obedience to the word of God, you are serving in the land of Egypt. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. I want us to read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. We pray to God that you will not do what is wrong by refusing our correction. I hope we won't need to demonstrate our authority when we arrive. Do the right thing before we come, even if that makes it look like we have failed to demonstrate our authority. As a child of God that has left the land of Egypt, you would not need prompting. You would not need authority to be exercised on you before you yield. You see that yielding unto God's word will be coming from you because the Spirit of God is doing it in you. Why do you think believers today, you know, hear the word of the gospel? They can even preach it and teach it. But when it comes to doing, then it's a problem. That is why you will see, after a whole church of noise and powerful service and praise and worship and everything, right from the moment we share the grace, people will start. People will start doing contrary to the word. You have to totally leave Egypt in order to serve God faithfully. So he told Moses, I'm going to let you go to serve God. You want to serve God with the Israelites? I will let you take them to serve God, but you're doing it here. We cannot mingle worldliness with the gospel. That is why the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, 1 John 2:15. Do not. Everybody say do not. Yes. Do not love this world. Now the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. We are to live in this world, but we have been instructed as children of God not to love the world. When the Bible says do not love the world, does that mean that you have to move out? Does that mean we have to move out of this world? So where are we moving to? Eh? If you move back to Nigeria, you are still in the world. If you move back to Ghana, you're still in the world. So what is the Bible really saying right there? See, in the New Testament, when we examine the New Testament, anywhere you see the law, the word law, it talks about different. We have to trace the original translation of the word love. See, this is different from John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Somebody can come and say that, wait a minute, God said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And in 1 John 2:15, is saying, do not love this world. Is God contradicting himself? You see, it's the same word, love. God loved the world. Do not love the world. But when we understand, you know, New Testament was written in Greek. The word love in John 3:16 is different from this love in 1 John 2:15. Praise God. The love in John 3:16, if you have Greek Bible and you will see it, you will see it clearly. It's agape. That is God's love. But when you trace this one, you will see this is in Greek, heros. That is the Greek word for the love in 1 John 2:15. Agape means God's love. Heros is actually talking of lust. There is difference between if you have genuine love to someone and if you have lust for someone. Praise God. Okay, let me use an example where we came from in Nigeria. You know, one time I saw cockroach by my cupboard. You know, I was living by myself then. I just cook stew. So at night, I put, you know, there is no refrigerator. Okay, you put it in the cupboard and you open it halfway. Praise God. You won't cover it fully. Am I saying something that is? Come on, man. Many of us did it. You won't close it fully. You will close it halfway. And tomorrow is still good. Yeah. So I saw cockroach climbing on top of this cupboard. I jump up from my bed. Guess what I was going to do? I was going to kill the thing. Are you kidding me? Do you think I love? What do you think I love? The thing inside, you think is the cupboard? No. The thing inside the cupboard is what I was protecting. I took my shoe. Boom. The thing died. What love is that? Huh? I love the stew. No. As I'm giving you the illustration, the cupboard and the stew. The stew is inside the cupboard. So what exactly you think I love? The thing inside the cupboard. Yeah. When you see lust, you know, these days, it is not a genuine love. There is something inside that you want. That is what you are looking at, the inside. That is why you see, then when they say boyfriend, girlfriend, thing, the one that says, I love you, without you, I can't sleep, you are the sugar of my tea, you are the butter of my bread, you are this, you are that, you are that. When they fight, the same person that says, you are this, you are all that, will be kicking and punching and say, if you dare ever say you know my name. After he had achieved what he wanted to achieve, then they don't want each other anymore. Lost. God is saying to us in this 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, be in the world, but don't love the things in the world. Do not love the things in the world. Anything the world will offer you, that is anything from inside the world, is contrary to my will. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that is unconditional love of God, the love that has no because, no reason. It's just so pure and genuine. Even while we were yet sinners, that's when he died. The other type of love, you know, we are not going into that, but I was just talking of three major different types of love in the New Testament according to the Greek translation. So the other one is the relationship love. The father loved the son and commit everything into his hand. That is not eros. That is not agape love. That is called phileo in Greek. That is relationship love. The love between father and son. The love between parents and children. The love between husband and wife. Because of the relationship. The relationship built that love to the level where it is. So you might have come through in your Bible where it says the father loved the son is and commit everything into his hand. So when you look into all this, so we're focusing on this John 2:15, do not love the world. That is just the instruction God is giving us. And anything that it offers you, because for when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. So you can see what Satan is offering, what Pharaoh is offering the Israelites is contrary to God's word. It says, stay here in Egypt and serve him. And he said, no, God is saying, come out of Egypt and serve me. Because until you come out of Egypt, that is, we cannot live the same lifestyle and begin to serve God with the same lifestyle that we used to live before we give ourselves unto the Lord. All things have passed away. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Say new creature, everybody.
Yes.
We're going very quickly. That chapter was over. When you get home, you can read the whole Exodus chapter 8, verse 25, and read it down. What you see, the response of Moses and all that, you know. And God visited him again because he changed. He refused to let them go. Moses came back to him. God said, let my people go so that they can serve me. See what he said the second time, verse 28. Verse 28 of that Exodus chapter 8. Okay, all right, go ahead. Pharaoh replied, I will let you go into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord your God. Now let's read the rest together. Let's go. But don't go too far away. Now hurry and pray for me. See what they say? Okay, go, but don't go. Isn't that the deceit the devil is putting in people's heart today? Serve God, be halfway. 50%, 50%. Don't go too far. Don't be fully too born again. Don't give everything up. Man is not a wood. God understand. And he whispered this into people's ear today. That's why you see people that after praising God and all that, they will still go out. When the moment the friends calls and all that, they will go and do the other side. It is amazing today that people gathered, fellowship of the Holy Spirit, join hands together, worship God, hear the word of God, lift hands up, pray in tongues. And once they switch to the other side of their life, they do other things that they cannot bring into the church. And they are struggling with it. They are struggling with it. I don't want to do this thing. It's my friend. And whenever they call me, I cannot say no. It's because you are not too far from Egypt. You know that if you are not too far from somewhere, you will be hearing the voice. You will be hearing everything that's going on there. Let's say you are about to leave your house, and your children are playing, they are making noise, you corrected them, you enter your car, you're driving, you're still not too far away, when that noise continues, you will still hear. You are able to hear because the distance is shortened. You are not far away. Until you go far away from Egypt, you cannot serve God faithfully. That is what God is saying here. We have to go far. It is the deceit of the devil that is telling you, don't go too far. Don't give up everything. God understands. He knows you are a man. He knows you are weak. Praise God. You know, he says all this to deceive children of God. Brethren, do you want to go far from Egypt to serve God? It has to be yes for you to serve him faithfully. Otherwise, we are just serving him. The word faithfully in that Genesis 17 is important for us to take note of. It's not just saying serve me. He's saying no, serve me faithfully. That is, don't give up all unto him. You understand? And see, God says something in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13. Jeremiah 29 verse 13. Jeremiah 29 verse 13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with what? It means seeking God requires diligently. It requires all your heart. If I'm looking for something now, I'm looking for something. Maybe I'm looking for my wallet. Okay, when you are looking for your wallet, how do? You know your license is in there. Your money is in there. Your bank card is in there. Your driver's license is in there. My friend, to be honest with you, you're already sweating. Because you know, some people's wallet, forget it. It weighs almost 20 pounds. What they put in that wallet. Imagine that thing get lost. You are looking everywhere. You are searching. You are sweating. You're taking off. You throw your bag somewhere. You take off your shoe. You are bending down under the chair, under the bed, anywhere. You will even look in the refrigerator. That is how tough it can be. Do you know that is what God is saying here? You will seek me, and then you will find me. That is, you cannot find me until when you begin to seek. The word seek means searching diligently. Seeking God is not what we do crossing leg. It's not what we do out of convenience. It's not what we do when we feel like. It requires the whole of our heart. Otherwise, you cannot see him. And it is not possible if you don't come out of Egypt, number one. Number two, if you don't go too far from Egypt, you cannot seek God and find him. Because those things in Egypt will still be calling you. That is why people will sing what they used to sing when they were in the world and they come back to their senses. Oh, I don't want to be singing those songs anymore. Because they were not far away. That thing is still there. When they are angry, they will tell you, if not because I've been born again. If not because I've been born again. So what were you going to do? So you remember what you used to do then, how you used to deal with this person when they do something like this. So you remember. So it means you are not far away from Egypt. You're still close by. That is why they thought you can still remember some things that you do then and how you do it. And you are kind of captured. If not because, I would have destroyed this place today. friend, it means you are not far away from Egypt. But God is saying, contrary to what Pharaoh is saying to Moses, go far. You have to go far from Egypt in order to serve me faithfully. Going far from Egypt will enable us to be committed to God's word. I'm telling you the honest truth. Why is it so difficult today for believers to even think of chewing the word of God, creating time for the word of God, is because they have no passion. Until you come out totally, you can never have passion. When you have passion for something, you look for it. When you have passion for something, you do what? You look for it. Don't you see when you love somebody, where they live is not far away to you. It's never far away. If other people are saying, sorry, we couldn't come to visit you, you know, you see this one coming every day. It is love. You have passion. When we have passion for God, we will seek Him. Whether it is convenient and when it is not convenient, we will be committed to following His word. We will be observing His word. We will be reading His word. 1 Peter chapter 2. I want us to read the first three verses. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 1 through verse 3. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all what? Deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave. You know what it is to crave for something? You know how you feel when you're craving for chicken wings? You don't normally eat it. All of a sudden, you are just craving for it, for something. You know you will look for it. You will go for it. It doesn't matter. Even if they prepare pandan yam and egusi, it is what you are craving for. Amen? The word crave is powerful. That means you have been captured by the love of that thing. You want it badly. You want it at that time. Crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. Verse 3. Now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. If you see somebody that have come in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will yield. Nothing that is going on in Egypt will entice you anymore. You will totally leave and go far away from Egypt. Do it contrary to what Pharaoh is saying. Pharaoh will always suggest. He will always suggest. You don't have to do that. Some other people will do it. You don't have to go early. Let them start before you go. Are you the pastor? Are you the one preaching? Are you an usher? Are you the one to open the church? He will always negotiate. He will always want you to stay in between, not to yield totally. Let us be sensitive to the deceit of Pharaoh as we are serving God. Because He's calling us into a faithful serving, not just serving Him. The third thing He said in chapter 10, verse 10, you will see the third thing that Pharaoh said to Moses when Moses came to him. Exodus chapter 10, verse 10. Pharaoh reported, "The Lord will certainly need to be with you if I let you take your little ones. I can see through your evil plan." Verse 11, "Never. I'm not going to let all of you go. Only the men. Only who? The men may go and worship the Lord." Saying that is what you requested. And Pharaoh threw them out of the place. He said, "Leave your children. Leave the wife. Let only men go." And what is God's instruction? Let my people go, so they may serve me. But Moses did not agree with that. And that is what he suggests in people's heart today, in people's life today. You will see part of the family here, part of the family here. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is the word of God. And that is where God wants us to be. And you understand that men are in position of headship, authority, leadership in the home. But Satan wants to divide God's attention. He wants to take part, and he wants the other part to go. The devil whispered this into many believers' life today, that, okay, you can be the priest in your home, but your children don't have to be born again. Your wife don't have to be regenerated. You give godly instruction, they don't have to understand it. They don't have to follow it. They don't have to abide with it. And it will make every effort to make sure it is so. And that's why you see spiritual battle going on in homes today. That as the man is performing the leadership role as the priest of the home, the devil is fighting, polluting the heart of the children, dividing the husband from the wife, causing division in the home, and they are not united in faith. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. Genesis 18, verse 19. I have singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then I will do for Abraham all that I have promised. See what God is saying, testifying about Abraham, that I know him. I have singled him out. And for God, before God will do all he had promised, the previous conversation has to be fulfilled. See, God did not say, I will do all I've said to Abraham in the beginning. God said, I have singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. See what should come before the fulfillment of promises. You have to do your responsibility by teaching your household as the head of the home. That is, you and your household are to be saved. If there is anyone here that this is not happening in our homes, I want to tell you that this is the promise of God. You and your household are for the Lord. And if you maintain that stand with focusing on the Lord, it is God that controls the heart of men. He will change. Amen? He will change the heart. And the heart will be turned back unto the Lord. Would that be your testimony? As Joshua said in 24 verse 15, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That should be our focus. That should be our goal. That should be our prayer. That's why if you see any contrary behavior, don't give up. Don't give up. Stand on the word of God. Continue to confess the word. Continue to pray. Continue to look. Continue to expect. Because it will happen. Say amen. It will what? It will happen. The last thing Pharaoh said. Go to verse 24 of chapter 10. Don't forget our focus, the team, serving God faithfully. Verse 24 of chapter 10 of the book of Exodus. Finally. And you know that that's not the end. That man is very stubborn. Satan is wicked. He doesn't give up. After, if you take time to read this book, you will see what God did, how God visited him each time he disobeyed. All the lessons God taught him. But still, He doesn't listen. He's very stubborn. Finally, Pharaoh called for Moses. Okay, Moses, go and worship the Lord, he said. But leave your flocks and and herds here. You may even take your little ones with you. He wants them to go, and all their belongings doesn't have to be of the Lord. Leave them in Egypt. So as you go and serve God, leave your businesses, your property, your belongings, everything you have, let them remain in Egypt. You go and serve God. Be a worshiper, but your resources can be acquired by ungodly ways. Do you know that a lot of believers today, I'm telling you, by the time you work with them, you will see that their resources are not regenerated. Their means of wealth are so ungodly. The businesses, their way of doing business is corrupted. You cannot work with them. Before the end of one day, you will know who they are when it comes to money. God wants us to yield totally. Everything about us, our jobs, our businesses. You cannot lie and come and testify. Praise God with me. God is wonderful. This God is awesome. I can't believe this. You know what you are saying. You can believe it because you know what you did. I've had one somebody saying one time that, yeah, when it happened, we will testify. We will praise God. You have to do it God's way. The testimony is not what is important. Because anything that is not of God will not stand. It's a matter of time. It will crush. It will come down. Let's read Proverbs chapter 20, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 10. Can you put it in NLT, please? And I want us to read it together. Proverbs 20, verse 10. Let's go. Horse weight and unequal measures. The Lord detests double standard of one kind. Once you begin to apply double standard in your doings, you are in Egypt because your resources, your belongings belongs to you. Double standard. Can somebody tell us what is double standard? Somebody, please, teach us. What is double standard? How do you understand that? Double standard? Hypocrisy. Double standard. Hypocrisy. Yes, yes. False weight. Those of us that came from Nigeria now, in the market, you know what they do? All these things they use to measure. Do you know that they do some own works with those things? They do real own work. Patch and patch with style, and you won't know. Something that should give you 12 cups will give you 10 and a half. Just because they have patched it with style. And by the time you get home, instead of you getting 12 cups, you get 10. False weight. Can somebody give us an example of false weight in business? I can call names. I want somebody to rise up and tell us. Give us an example. How can you bring this down to our understanding? What is false weight in business, in doing business? Making bad stuff to look like original. Do you know that you will even say that this, before God is my witness, before God and man, I bought this from America. And they will be using God. I like that. That is really good. Making false to be like the truth. Yes, Brother Reuben. Anything in fine print, you will have to break down what is fine print. I'm loving all this example. Yes, this side. Can somebody give us example of a job or businesses that are still in Egypt? Eye service. When we see the drama that they gave us last week Thursday, praise God. Amen. Did you notice eye service in that drama? Who can remind us the eye service in that drama? That drama was so powerful. Yes, don't worry, the person is not here. He's not here today. Express it well. I want somebody to come and tell us, what was the eye service in that drama that we watch on Sunday? Oh, we forgot? Yeah, I want somebody. I will give you a mic because this is being recorded. I will give you a mic. Nobody from the drama ministry. You acted the drama. You are part of them. Eh? You will wait. I want somebody else. Yes, because she was part of them. Don't worry. You came, so you will. Thomas, stay here. Yes, Brother Chris. Somebody trying to. Yes. I like that breakdown. She was criticizing the boss, and she said, and you know, she's the type, God bless you. When they were saying good morning to her, God bless you. When they were going for lunch, God bless you. When they come back the next day, God bless you. How was your night? Sister, God bless you. Everything, God bless you. But when the boss was not there, see what she was saying about the boss. And she went behind. Complete it for us.
Okay, the lady started, first of all, she was showing everybody that she's a good Christian. Meanwhile, the girl, that the new employee that came in, she was befriending her, showing her, oh, I'm a Christian here. And at the end of the day, she went behind her to the boss and said a lot of things. These were actually things that she and the other employees said about the boss. She went behind her and backstabbed her in front of the boss and cursed her. And cursed, she was the reason why the lady lost her job.
Thank you so much. That's a very good example. Eye service. You know, try to deceive the boss. Went to the boss and painted this other lady black, real black. You remember everything she was saying to the boss that the lady said. She was actually the one that said all those things. Praise God. God bless you. So it's not about saying God bless you 1 million times. It's about your life. It's about your life. And see, the boss fired the girl that knows nothing. Innocent girl. Go out of Egypt. But leave your resources here. That is doing business in an ungodly way as believers. Gathering wealth in an ungodly way as a believer. I want us to take all these instructions as the Lord is revealing them to us through the scripture, reminding us that for us to serve Him diligently, we have to come out of Egypt. For us to serve Him diligently, we have to be far away from Egypt. For us to serve Him diligently, we have to come out with the whole of ourselves, not just part of the family. For us to serve God diligently, everything about us, our jobs, our businesses, we must reflect Christ the way we do it. The way we relate with people. You don't falsify as a child of God. You don't forge documents as a child of God. You don't lie on your timesheet as a child of God. You don't compromise your faith as a child of God. Anything about you will be reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 22 verse 1. The Bible says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And favor is better than silver and gold. Amen. But the Lord prevailed in the life of the Israelites. He intervened. Pharaoh let them go. And you understand the story. By the time you get to chapter 14 of the book of Exodus, as they were going, they got to the Red Sea. They thought that is the end of it. When you're serving God faithfully, He will always make a way. Where there seems to be no way, He will show up. Even at the last minute, you will see His wonders. You will experience His miracle. You will encounter His presence. I'm telling you, He will show up in a way that you never expect. They got to the Red Sea. They thought they were stuck. When you serve God faithfully, when you yield unto Him faithfully, even when you think you are stuck, even when you think all is gone, you will hear His voice. I am here. I am here. He told Moses, why are you shouting? Why are you calling unto me? Some things you won't need to pray for it. I'm telling you the honest truth. Some things you won't even need to pray for it. Because you have done it, you see what he said to Abraham? Because I have singled him out, that he will instruct his household, his children and their family to obey my word. I will fulfill my promises that I made for him. God remembers. He remembers. He's a covenant-keeping God. Moses, tell them to move on. Tell them to move on. You guys are not stuck. I have gone ahead of you. As Moses lifted up his hand, the Red Sea recognized the hand of God and bowed down to the Lordship and parted. Brethren, the Israelites walked on a dried land. It's only God that can do that. We sing the song, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. When we serve Him faithfully, when we yield to His commandment, when we commit ourselves and release ourselves unto Him, He knows how to fulfill all His promises for our lives. And guess what? Pharaoh said, I can do the same thing. I'm going to follow you guys. I will follow you guys. You are not going nowhere. So that will tell you that even as you had made up your mind, I have decided to follow Jesus, that doesn't mean He's going to leave you alone. He's going to be doing everything possible within His means to bring you back to where? Egypt. That is why you stay focused. You stay focused on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. If you focus on brethren, you may be deceived. But when you focus on Jesus, you will get there. You will get there. He did not tell us to focus on people. He told us to focus on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When you read that, you will understand the power of God. When He intervenes in a situation, He will do it all. Pharaoh and his soldiers and all his armies were buried in the Red Sea. The Israelites were gone. You will go. When you serve Him faithfully. Amen. So I want us to get, you know, take time and study this and understand it very, very well. As the Lord will open your eyes more to it, He's speaking to us that it's not just about service, it's about being faithful. Being faithful. Faithfulness is important in our journey with the Lord. I want us to bow down our heads and just pray for yourself. Just pray for yourself.